Rusty Quill presents.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
When is Mark coming in and recording these? I don't get it. Does he have a key or something? Whatever. At least I don't have to do any recording today. This is entry 3116, titled Dollhouse, written by an exchange member going by the name Light in the Dungeon, recorded by Mark LaBeouf.
People in this town aren't real. I don't mean there's a bunch of mannequins all Nuketown style. I mean they're just wrong. Everyone wears plain clothing. No brands, no words, not even pictures. Whenever they speak, it's only what needs to be said. Prices for groceries, gas, but rarely anything else. I once got bumped into while walking back to my apartment. They didn't even say sorry or excuse me. Originally, I just brushed it off as them being a jerk, but the more I paid attention, the more things didn't seem right. I moved here 2 months ago due to a natural disaster in my hometown. My entire block was leveled, and I decided it was time for a change of scenery. About a week and a half after I moved here, however, the only bridge to exit this small island collapsed. At first, I didn't mind, because I didn't see any reason to move back closer to the big city. Now, I feel trapped. I tried to talk to people here from time to time, but I'm only ever met with curt responses or blank stares. I tried to ignore it because I assumed they didn't like non-locals. The people, however, were not the only thing off about the town. There were no emergency service buildings, bar a single hospital. There was only one grocery store and a handful of gas stations. After I decided to look closer, I noticed a couple of things. I've never been particularly nosy, but sometimes you just can't help yourself. One day while I was getting groceries for the week, I decided to peek at what a person in front of me was buying. What she had on the conveyor belt didn't make any sense. Bleach, cat litter, baking soda, shampoo, and one apple. At first glance, it just looked like anyone's normal groceries, but none of it coalesced. None of it belonged together without at least some other miscellanea to make it seem like you're actually shopping and not just grabbing things to make the flow of life seem more convincing. I would have almost brushed it off if it wasn't for one thing. The apple was rotting. This would seem all the less strange if you'd attempt to apply some logic to the situation. Maybe she couldn't find everything she was looking for. Maybe the produce section was desolate today. But here's the thing. I've never seen a single shipment to the store. The shelves are always fully stocked every time I go in. There's not even anyone else in the store except a few customers and a single cashier. There's no evidence that anyone has even bought anything except for the people waiting in the line to check out. I only realized just how strange of a situation it was when I saw how they acted when they thought they weren't being observed. In the rare circumstance that multiple people were at one singular stoplight, they were empty. All of their faces were completely vacant of all emotion or expression, as if it were just stamped onto an action figure. They all looked forward completely motionless, and I could swear not a single one of them blinked. Yet when the light turned green, all five cars moved in unison without hesitation. Once again, at a glance, this looks like a completely normal action. Green means go, right? But when you stop to think, you'd usually only start going once you see the person in front of you move. They didn't. I've been doing a lot of stopping and thinking recently. I don't know when I decided to follow someone home, but I picked a random person and just kept behind them. They walked on for hours with seemingly no direction, a left here, a right over there, until the sun had fully sunken under the horizon and they decided it was time to go inside. Now, I don't mean that they walked home. That would be too simple. No. Instead, he just picked the closest house and went inside. I watched tentatively from the windows to see what he would do. Check the fridge, maybe. Watch TV. Maybe just sit on the couch and start reading a book. What he did was far more unsettling. He just walked into the bedroom and laid on the bed, face up and fully flat. Even without removing so much as his shoes and jacket. And he just closed his eyes. On the walk back to my house, I felt shaken. Everything about what I just witnessed was so wrong on an intellectual level, I couldn't stop my skin from crawling. When I finally reached my home and inevitably my bed, I collapsed into it, exhausted from hours of walking. Even though I was completely spent, I couldn't sleep. I stared at my ceiling and walls for hours just trying to pass out, but I couldn't. I started to feel just as unreal as the inhabitants of this alien island. Eventually, in the late hours of the AM, I passed out. I woke up to the sound of knocking at my door, which was terrifying for more than a couple of reasons. I cautiously opened the door to see a mailman with absolutely zero notable features. Without a word, he handed me a letter and left. When I opened it, there were only four words on the sheet of paper. They were very clear and housed in an implicit threat. Mind your own business. Obviously, there was no return address. The next days were notably different from the rest of the time I'd spent here. Had I not spent the last several weeks heavily observing the population around me, I don't think I'd have noticed. People looked at me. They acknowledged my existence. I've never felt so naked before in my life. As time went on, it got worse. So much worse. This town full of people that just pretended to be alive had started to live around, but only during the day. At night, it was still so empty you could mistake it for a model. I constantly would drive up to the collapsed bridge in hopes that it would magically be fixed, or at the very least be under construction. It never happened. No such luck. I tried to pretend it was fine for so long until eventually one followed me home. He just stood outside the window, even after nightfall. Eventually he left, but I still couldn't shake the feeling of imminent danger. They all watch me now, waiting for something. So I've begun to blend in. I keep my face blank. I grab things at random when I go into the store, and at night, I make sure to get home as inconspicuous as possible. No one looks anymore, but I can still feel their eyes burning behind me. I'm trapped here, and they all know it.
Tiny Terrors is an anthology horror podcast produced by Pulp Audio and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license.
This episode was directed by Cole Weavers, with sound production and editing by Mike LeBeau.
To find additional information or to join our Patreon for additional content and ad-free episodes, visit our website, www.tinyterrorspod.com.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Tiny Terrors Pod.
Or join the Pulp Audio Discord by clicking the link in the description below.
Rate and review us on Spotify and Apple.
And finally, thanks for listening.